Vita vestra abscondita est cum Christo in Deo. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, today we formally begin our annual Lenten fast to prepare for Easter. In today's Gospel, St. Matthew recounts to us the episode when our Lord was led into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Let us take a close look at this passage to glean some lessons for ourselves this Lent. The first thing we are told in the Gospel is that Jesus was led into the desert by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. Here is our first lesson. We are not to go looking for temptation. Even though no one will be spared temptation, it is unwise to put ourselves in the occasion of sin, since if we do so, we are already thinking of committing sin. However, if we come upon it suddenly, when we least expect it, it is a sure sign that divine providence allows it. We have no reason to fear, since God, who sees all things, will certainly give us the victory if we are faithful. It is important, therefore, to be vigilant. When we look at the temptations that our Lord went through, it seems logical that the devil's temptations of Jesus would have started with the greatest sin. And not achieving this, the devil would have moved on to lesser sins. So he would first tempt Jesus with idolatry and follow up with something that is not even a venial sin, such as breaking a voluntary fast. However, it is not this that happens. St. John tells us in his first epistle that the three sources of sin are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is the logic followed by the succession of the devil's attack. This is the same order of temptations that a soul suffers when it decides to move forward with living a good spiritual life. That is why there is a deep symbolism in these three temptations of our Gospel today. The devil first tempts Jesus with things of the flesh, symbolized by the bread. This temptation symbolizes what the ascetic calls the night of the senses. If the soul resists this type of temptation, that is, all bodily appetites, there is no reason for the devil to continue tempting in this way, because the soul has fortified itself against it. Having passed through the night of the senses, the devil then tempts with the world. The soul feels the beauty and attractions of the world that it has left. This is a symbol of the night of the spirit in the spiritual life. Here the soul is tempted by the world in which it lives, but no longer enjoys. If this temptation is resisted, one final danger remains: pride. This is pride in the gifts one has received from God. These three temptations symbolize the phases of temptations we go through in the spiritual life. It has to be added that concretely, those which the devil used with Jesus were especially subtle. First, the devil tempted Jesus not with sin, but with imperfection. He was asked to stop doing a good, his fasting, and turn stones into bread. Then he was tempted with the spiritual good of the world. It is as if the devil were saying, "Make a sign of acknowledgement toward me, proud as I am, and as a reward, I will put myself at your side. All I ask is that you acknowledge me, and I will help you in your work of saving souls. Are you not humble? Are you not capable of lowering yourself a little more for the eternal good of souls?" This second temptation is packed with tremendous spiritual meaning. Jesus was not asked to stop being God. He was only asked to humble himself a little bit more. Could not the just one, who had made so many sacrifices for souls, make one more? It is the temptation to do a little evil so as to achieve a great good. We are not to do this. Only God can bring good out of evil. It is not for us to attempt this. The final temptation is that of pride, to be publicly recognized. It was to press in from the fact that it is God in his time who exalts his servants. Here the devil was saying, even though God decides the time and the moment, why not bring the moment forward? Why remain in obscurity when so much good can be done by coming out into the light in a glorious and spectacular way? We can see that this third temptation is the most complex and subtle of all. It was soon after his baptism that our Lord retired to the desert to be tempted by the devil. And it is at this moment that he reveals the end of his mission. We are given to understand that temptation is imminent for those made sons of God through baptism. In the book of Sirach we read, "My son, if you come forward to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for temptation." Our Lord wanted to be tempted by the devil because he wanted to protect us and strengthen us against the demon's seductions. He wanted to be obedient that we can participate in this obedience against the temptations of disobedience. In these days of Lent, but also throughout our existence, we must share this experience of our Lord. If we really try to follow his example, to participate in his life, if we really try to live with him, our life does not automatically become easier. Indeed, very often we experience the opposite. Life becomes more difficult because there is someone who does not want our life in Christ, the disruptor, the devil who drags everything into disorder. In today's gospel, we see how the devil works. He is a fallen angel, but unfortunately, he has not fallen in his wicked intelligence. He knows very well how to seduce us with the best arguments. Today in the gospel, we see that he even knows the Bible, and we can be sure that he also knows very well how to tempt us by means that seem religious in nature, like a kind of spiritual pride, false apparitions, or simply with disobedience to legitimate authority. We can see the evil consequences of this work in our cities and nations, and we know it well. Here are the poisonous fruits of the tree of disobedience that are evident in a terrifying way. The devil has thrown down the mask and revealed the effects of disobedience that, of course, no one has ever wanted. The devil is the father of lies and therefore always knows the most convincing arguments to make us commit the worst sins. He tempted our Lord in the desert with wonderfully astute arguments. If you are the Son of God. He tempts our Lord to lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. This miserable demon only wants to convince Jesus to admit his true nature, that is, that of the Son of God. But Jesus resists him. We must be very careful ourselves, and not only during Lent, to be ready to recognize and reject these cunning and diabolical temptations. We accompany Jesus in the desert to share his life there, to live a life of obedience and sacrifice, of penance and prayer. At this time, we will also share his experience of temptations on the part of the devil. But with the help of the Lord, through the illumination of his grace, we will be able to recognize the diabolical language. Our Lord went into the desert to be tempted by the devil, not only to show us what happens when we decide to convert from our old ways, but also to give us a good example of how to respond with faith against these temptations. As his followers, we should not be surprised, therefore, that even though we have renounced various sins, we are still tempted to commit them. These temptations will only fade away over time as we cooperate with the graces that we receive while going about our duties of state. Over this period of Lent, with the help of grace and the example of Jesus, we will eventually strengthen ourselves morally. We will be ready to reject the devil's traps, and we can grow in perfection and participate in the victory of the Redeemer. Let us not forget, in all of our spiritual labors, the role of Our Lady, and ask her for her intercession during our daily rosary, so that we do not lose the joy of the company of our Lord. Let us remain assured of her constant help for us. Nothing would displease our Mother in Heaven more than placing a hindrance or misapplying the graces given by God for our help. During the trying season that is before us, our lives should be characterized by a firm confidence in God, who lives in us, fights in us, and conquers again in us. O Mary, help of Christians, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.